Praise God, it's good to be here. I feel so privileged tonight, really. I mean, God is so good. Today's verse, today's key scripture is one that I think, actually I did see that it is the most recited, the most well-known scripture. Don't put anything up yet, huh? It's the most well-known verse in the Bible, scripture, the I'm going to give it away if I say what, in the well-known, most well-recited in the Bible. So I know that you've probably heard 100 sermons on it. Can anyone guess what that is? No? Okay. Oh, you know that. Didn't you know that? Okay. Yes, Psalm 23. And it is. It is truly most people would have knowledge. Yeah. She yeah. Oh, there we go. So anyway, but it is. It's known to be one of the most well-known psalms, and it's actually mostly used at funerals and in places like that. But I actually, the Lord, I believe, gave it to me recently, and I really do believe it's a word for right now. I tell you why. I could actually preach a whole sermon. I mean, we could go through it like as an expository sermon, because there's just so much. Okay, we could go bit by bit. But I want to take a portion of it and go through it with you. So Psalm 23, and I've got the ESV version up there if you want to go through it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That's my favorite, absolutely most beautiful psalm. I love it, and I'm sure everybody does. And, you know, as I said, I started to study it, and how I came upon it, it's a bit of a long story, but the Lord gave it to me at a time of rest. When I was begging him for rest, he gave me this scripture, and it was amazing, because in studying it, I found the most ultimate rest. So I actually want to go through it, but there's so much we can see from it, and just something that just stood out right up from the beginning was how he starts off by speaking of the Lord, and he lands up speaking to the Lord. I mean, do you notice that? It's quite obvious, and I was wondering, you know, that's like interesting in itself. I mean, as I said, you could just go on, and that's not my key theme for tonight. But don't you think that is amazing? That he starts out speaking of God, and then he lands up speaking to God. And I realize it's because when we speak of the things of God, we can't help but speak to him. You know, and that is right. And I just want to encourage you in that as an aside, that when, you know, when you're studying the word, when you're studying theology, make sure that you're speaking to him, and that it's not just like theology, if you know what I mean. It's not just studying the word, because without the Spirit, it's not always good. So, okay, I just want to take it and break it down a little bit for you as a background, and then I'm going to get to my main theme. But the first thing is that we see, okay, so he says, firstly, that the main theme is Jesus as a shepherd, right? Okay, so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, and in various parts of the Bible, the Lord is called our shepherd. He calls himself the good shepherd. Okay, just to give you some scripture, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Hebrews 13:20, you can go read it at your own time. 1 Peter 5:4, there's various others, okay? But those are some of them. And he says in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Okay, so he calls himself, so that's the main theme here, the good shepherd. Okay, but David himself, as you know, was a shepherd. For many years, he himself was a shepherd. He wrote a lot of the Psalms when he was a shepherd, sitting under those trees in the shade, not 40 degrees in Franschhoek, but he spent many years as a shepherd. So he qualifies, I think, as someone who can actually tell us what a good shepherd would be. Do you not agree? Okay, so he goes one step further, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, so he doesn't just call him a shepherd or the shepherd, he says my shepherd, which again tells us he understood about having a relationship with the shepherd. Okay, so this is just some background. We'll go through it. So David understood that having Jesus as a shepherd defined his outcome. Under Jesus, he understood that, you see, it's like this. Understanding that there's different kinds of shepherds. Knowing that Jesus was his shepherd defined his outcome. If it was another shepherd, the outcome would be different. Let me give you an example just to illustrate. When Jan and I were in the Transkei end of November last year, we were driving through the country, through the homelands, and I saw a lot of sheep, and they were shocking looking. I mean, I actually did at one stage, I was like, didn't know sheep could look like that. I mean, honestly, they are dark brown. They look like rustler sheep. They've got like dreadlocks, and they really sad looking. I mean, they eat junk. They eat rubbish on the side of the road, and these are sheep that belong to someone. And I thought in my mind, because I'm so used to driving like around Bot River and all those areas, I think all sheep are fluffy and white, yeah, and then fluffy and clean and happy. And these sheep didn't look happy or clean they always looked hungry. And, you know, and that I think defines, that explains what he's talking about here. You know, he's the good shepherd. Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. He's boasting in the fact that Jesus is his shepherd. Okay, so you get that. So we understand, we establish that. Okay. Okay, then we go on to verse 1b, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, we're just going to establish what it means to have Jesus as our shepherd, okay? So he says, I shall not want. And what does that mean? As Christians, when it says we will have everything, what does that mean? I think we need to establish that because it can sometimes be misconstrued, the whole prosperity message can sometimes get carried away. And there's a quote from John Piper. He says, what David means is that God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. That's pretty good, right? Okay, I'm just going to say that again. God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. So what that means is that with Jesus, when we've got Jesus, it's all we need. When you've got Jesus, no matter if you're going through the valley of death or whether you're in the pastures, he's more than enough. Okay, so when he says, I shall not want, it's because when you've got Jesus, you don't need anything else. You've got more than enough. When you have God, you've got more than enough. Okay, he goes through us. That song, that last song was like amazing. I mean, I was sitting there going, Lord, you're so faithful. And then Yanni goes and gives that picture, which is amazing because he didn't really know what I was preaching about, so it was amazing. And it shows you that God knows, and you know, he's more than enough. He's everything. So that's what he means by I shall not want. Okay, but then he goes on to point two, and he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So when Jesus is our shepherd, we've got more than enough, and we lie down by green pastures. And I was reading excerpts on the internet by a pastor and an author named Philip Keller, and he himself was a farmer, sheep farmer for 8 years, and before he became a pastor, and he said that it's almost virtually impossible for sheep to lie down. He says they're such timid animals that it's virtually impossible for them to lie down, and he says that for sheep to actually be willing to lie down, they need four fundamental things to be right. Okay, firstly, they cannot have fear. They cannot feel afraid. They can't be afraid of being attacked or anything like that. Okay, so fundamentally, they need to have no fear. Okay. Secondly, they cannot be any animosity. They can't be any friction with the other sheep around them. Okay. Thirdly, they've got to be free from all parasites, that all flies and parasites that bother them. I mean, sheep go through a lot. I don't know if you know that, but they really struggle. I won't go into the dirty details. I read some crazy things about sheep. I don't want to go there. Okay, I want you to stay here. So for sheep to lie down, thirdly, they cannot have any parasites. And what was the fourth one? Yeah, they can't lie down if there's a fear of finding food. If they fear not being able to find food. Okay, isn't that amazing? I've never thought of that before. And he wrote that in his book. And so you must be freedom from fear, friction, flies, and famine before the sheep will lie down. And how that translates to us is David is saying that the Lord often removes the obstacles in our life, okay, for the purpose of giving us rest. Okay, now this is the key theme of what I'm going to preach about, okay? He often takes some of these things out of our lives, sometimes, to give us rest. He removes fear. He removes the obstacles of friction. He removes the obstacles of famine. We always know we'll be fed. And he removes the obstacles of parasites and things like that. And then thirdly, he says, he leads me beside still waters. So he leads me beside still waters. And he says, the green pastures and the quiet waters represent a type of prosperity that the shepherd creates for us. It's a type of prosperity. I'm not preaching a prosperity message here, but it's a type of prosperity that he creates for us. And the reason we are given the prosperity is stated in the verse 3. He restores my soul. Okay, this is where I'm going. He restores my soul. So what ultimately matters is not our physical comfort, but our spiritual restoration. Amen. When our shepherd provides physical blessing, the goal is spiritual refreshment. Okay, stay with me, guys. Okay, so as being spiritually refreshed means to walk, and this is the key verse, in paths of righteousness, in right paths. So he creates this spiritual restoration for us. Okay, he creates this, he provides for us on all these levels as our shepherd, okay, so that we can walk in paths of righteousness. He does it, not us. Okay, you get that. It's not something we create. It's not something we do. He does it. But he creates, he restores my soul. Okay, so like sheep, we tend to go astray. Who agrees with that? So David here recognizes that we need to be guided by the shepherd, this greatest shepherd that we have been given. Okay, so Psalm 23 begins with rest and comfort. Amen. It doesn't begin with action. It doesn't begin with a task list. Amen. It begins with rest and comfort. It's resting in Christ, and out of restoration of our soul comes the activity. Okay, so first we enter into rest and comfort, and out of the rest and comfort comes the activity. Often we catch ourselves as Christians walking in this world, we think we've got to make things happen all the time, pushing, striving. And the reason I came to this message, guys, honestly, I've been talking to a lot of people lately, and I'm hearing the same thing everywhere. I'm so busy. I don't know about you, man, but Yanni and I hit the ground running this year. Okay. And we started the year seeking God. We started the year like waiting on God. And then what happened? We got busy. We got really busy. And I really believe this is what God is saying to us right now, because waiting on God is, for me, the key here. Okay, but I'll take you back. As Christians, we often run around, even in ministry. I mean, we catch ourselves doing this all the time, thinking we are doing what God wants us to do. And then we only find that place of rest once we're burnt out or frazzled or, you know, are just downright horrible. I don't know about you, but if I don't have quiet time, I'm nasty. Okay, so, and that's the problem here. Okay, because we don't function like that. This is not what God's called us to. This is not what God's called us to. And I just feel like we need to take a moment and stop. And stop this thing from taking over, just snowballing. You know, this like life that just happens around us. Yanni spoke about goals and you know, this morning message was amazing. And it was, you know, but what I'm trying to say is we have to actually stop and go to this place of rest. Okay, we've got to go to the great shepherd. We've got to go to him and allow us to take us to these still waters. We've got to go and allow him to take us to these green pastures. Okay. Okay, there's another scripture that I came to, Psalm 37:7. I don't think I put it up there, so I'm just going to read it to you. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. That was one of them. And then Matthew 11:28-30, go and read it at your leisure. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, so the practical application here. I'm going to challenge us tonight, okay? Because, like I said, this the Lord is my shepherd is the most beautiful. You can take it and you can go and you can read about him anointing your head with oil, and you can go and read about how he prepares a feast in the presence of your enemies, and it just goes and fits so beautifully with that other scripture. Because what I want us to do tonight is understand that, where do we find this rest? Where do we go to find rest? Does anyone know? Come on, guess. In Jesus, absolutely. But it's in going to him, going to the altar. It's the place that, as Christians, we often call it quiet time. Okay? And I want to challenge us tonight, guys. I know that I am speaking to myself tonight as well. And Justine came early and we just started to chat, and she was telling me how the Lord's really put this on her heart as well. And I know this is for all of us tonight. Our quiet time is the most important moment of the day. Okay, and so often we give it away. We I know. I wake up in the morning, I'm either overslept or something, or and I'm not I have family staying at the moment, and I'm not trying to create excuses, but there's always an excuse. There's always a reason, okay, not to have quiet time. It's like the most important part of our day. And I just wrote some points down. Number one, commit to spend quality time with God in prayer and the Word. Make the commitment. You know, the fear of God will hold you to that commitment. If you want to hold to something, write it down and say to the Lord, I commit to doing this. And sometimes you'll slip up, but you know what? The fear of God will keep you there. Do it as a commitment. Don't let anything stand in the way of this commitment. Go to the Lord every morning, every night, whenever it is the right time for you in your life. And Justine was saying to me, she's even committing to leave home because she works from home a lot. And so if you need to leave home, leave home. Go to a place that is like, go and hang out under a tree. Go sit on a rock. Yanni often climbs the mountain and goes and seeks God. If you don't have that ability, just do whatever it takes to have that place, that quiet place, where you can go and be free before the Lord. Go and spend time in worship. And if necessary, sing a few songs. Go into the Holy of Holies. You know, the Bible talks about, shows us that the image of the tabernacle, you know, go into the courts with praise, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Start with thanksgiving, start with praise, worship him. If you can't sing songs, just speak words of praise, but do it. And then slowly, slowly go into the Holy of Holies. Go and spend time in God. And then wait on God. Learn this practice. Guys, you know, recently Yanni and I went and prayed with some of the leaders of the town for Franschhoek and that. And you know, you think you wait on God. You think you learn how to wait on God. And Janita Engel, she runs the Lamotte Prayer Watch. And she called us. We asked her to lead us in it. And we sat there. And for almost an hour, we waited on God. Now, this was something new to me. I've been brought up sort of in a charismatic church. We go into the Lord's presence with, you know, guns blazing. And even in intercession, I really think that we don't do it enough. But for an hour, we sat there silent, waiting on God, literally hearing from God. That was such a discipline. And it was phenomenal. God really came and spoke to each and every one of us. And then we started to share what the Lord had said. And then we could hear how the Lord had said the same thing, more or less, to all of us. And then we started to intercede. Now, that's true intercession. You speak what God has put on your heart. But, you know, in your quiet time, expect God to come and speak to you. Expect it. He wants to more than you do. Even here, if you read in the Lord's my shepherd makes me leads me beside. Hold on. Yeah, shall follow me. Verse 6 of Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In some translation, that says pursue me. God pursues you. Don't think that you have to go to your quiet place and pursue God. He'll be there. He pursues you. When you show up, He's already dancing over you, the Bible says. He dances over us. Okay, so he pursues you. Expect to meet with the Most High God. And you, each and every one of us, hear his voice. So expect to hear his voice. And then write it down. Write down his promises. Write down the words that he's giving you. Speak them back over your life. Hold to the words. Call on the name of the Lord. Okay, you with me? Amen. And that's pretty much my word. It's a short and sweet word, but I just really believe that I want to challenge us this morning, this evening, that in this crazy time, you know, stop. Stop. Take charge. God said, you know, we run this race to win. We run it purposefully. But I just want to encourage us to stop this roller coaster, this merry-go-round, and take charge. And that happens when you go to the quiet place to find rest. When we go to the place where he speaks to us and he gives us rest. I mean, come on, be honest. Even coming in this evening, okay, other than the really coolness of the aircon, didn't you find rest in that worship? When you come in here tormented, your spirit's tormented, thinking about the week ahead, thinking of what needs to be done, you know, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and the Lord comes to give life and abundance. He's come to give you abundant life, rest. And from that place of rest, then the actions follow. Our relationship with Christ is what comes first. Relationship. And a relationship, you can't have a relationship if you don't go there, if you don't go to that quiet place. I can't have a relationship with my husband if I don't meet with him from time to time. And you need to make intimate time. Okay, where you actually, not just talking about the weather, you know, I'm not talking about going to God and talking about your family and the gripes of work, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking going and meeting with the lover of your soul, going and waiting on the Lord. Let him give you rest in your soul. And from that place of rest, guys, this is our inheritance in Christ. We're not driven, we're not pushed, we're not called to strive. We call to rest, find comfort, restoration in our soul. You know, when often people get saved, I had the ultimate privilege of leading, hopefully my cousin-to-be or my cousin's girlfriend, to the Lord last weekend. And the first thing she said to me is, Kat, I don't know if she minds if I share this, but I hope not. Okay. She first thing said to me is, does God mind that I smoke? I'm a smoker and I live with my boyfriend and, you know, all these things. And I was like, that's so typical of what the enemy wants us to think of God, you know. And I said to her, darling, focus on this amazing new relationship you found. Just focus on that. Forget, you know, the fact that you smoke. Forget everything else. He'll take that. He'll get rid of anything that is going to obstruct your walk with him. You know what I mean? Because he's the lover of your soul. He wants to do that. But first comes the restoration. So first go to the altar. First go and wait on God. Let him speak into your heart, into your life. And from that place, live your life. Overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Enough with being pushed into doing things for God. That turns out to be religious nonsense. That's not who we are. We are Christ's bride. We are going from glory to glory in him. He's doing the work. Amen. Amen. So what I'd like to do is just play one more song and just spend time in rest. Okay, we're going to close in a minute. If anyone has anything they need to, any prayer or anything, we're a body. I'd actually like us to minister to each other tonight. How's that? Do you guys mind about that? Okay, we're going to just turn into twos or threes or whatever. Find someone to pray for you and minister to one another. Pray for one another. Okay, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In you, you have everything pertaining to life and godliness. To everything he's given you is inside of you, okay? So we're going to minister to one another. Rosita wants to say something.
Yeah. We've acquired cats. Tiny. And so they're now a little bit bigger. But their thrill is to wake me up 5 or 5:30, 6, if I have a bit of chance, suckling and licking and kissing and purring their hearts out to And then I think, oh, it is so I just don't want to move because I don't want them to disappear. I just glory in this. And I cannot help thinking that then that is our first thing to the Lord. How must the Lord be waiting for us to do the very thing, to pour our hearts out in his presence? The Lord, I can only see it like that. I truly can only see that when how I delight in cats. They are not flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, but the Lord who made us, who he delights in us. So when we come in the morning purring, we have to do nothing. Just purr and come. This one cat, Phoebe, rolls his head in my hand and he just doesn't give me rest. And I can only think, Lord, I want to be like this cat to you. I want to really. And I think the Lord delights in us coming in the morning, expecting him to speak to us, to delight in us, and to guide us, to show himself to us.
All right, pray for one another. Minister to one another. Bring your needs or whatever, and just pray for each other's quiet time. Pray for each other's relationship with Christ. All of that, okay? Amen.